The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, it turns out Anthony Fauci originally thought COVID came from a lab. Excuse me. Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law. This guy should be in prison for the lies and the cover-up. Welcome back to the show. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Great to have you with us today. Busy week. Big night coming up Friday night, two nights from now. Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I hope you're going to be there. Jimmy Fallon is going to join us as well. So you're going to get a twofer. And I'm just saying, probably going to have some comedy tickets for you for his big show Saturday night in Red Bank. So if I were you, I'd want to be there. All right? I'd want to be there, and I'd want to keep my Saturday night open, too. I'm just saying. It's going to be a great weekend. Big story of the hour, though, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Senator Rand Paul penned an op-ed for Reason.com and explains why FOIA litigation shouldn't have been necessary to find out that Fauci's inner circle initially thought COVID came from a lab. So he raises the question, which he's been raising for quite some time now. Did it come from a lab? And to answer that, he says, let's revisit the early days of the pandemic and examine why some of Fauci's inner circle said privately about the origins of the virus. But we only know that through FOIA litigation, Freedom of Information Act. Evolutionary biologist Christian Anderson wrote, the lab escape version of this is so friggin' likely to have happened because they're already doing this type of work and the molecular data is fully consistent with that scenario. No kidding. Epidemiologist Ian Lipkin stressed, quote, the nightmare of circumstantial evidence to assess regarding the possibility of inadvertent release given the scale of bat coronavirus research pursued in Wuhan, China. It's a nightmare of circumstantial evidence to assess. Virologist Bob Gary said at the time, I really can't think of a plausible natural scenario where you get from the bat virus or one very similar to it, COVID-19, where you insert exactly 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotides, and all have to be added at the exact same time to gain this function. I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature. Also sounds like a Christmas song, right? On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love brought to me 4 amino acids, 12 nucleotides. I can barely say it, let alone sing it. I just can't figure out how this could occur in nature. According to Gary, it is not crackpot to suggest this could have happened, given the gain-of-function research we know is happening in Wuhan. Even Ralph Baric, world-famous gain-of-function researcher and collaborator with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Dr. Sheng Zhengli, admitted, quote, so the WIV has a very large collection of viruses in their laboratory. And so it's, you know, proximity is a problem. It's a problem. The laboratory. You either get it or you don't. What can I tell you? Federal court orders reveal that Fauci himself privately acknowledged concerns about gain-of-function research in Wuhan and mutations in the virus that suggest it might have been engineered just days before he commissioned the proximal origin paper. Despite these private doubts publicly, these so-called experts and their allies were dismissing the lab leak theory as a conspiracy. Within days, Anderson, Lipkin and Gary were putting the final touches on what will be remembered as one of the most remarkable reversals in modern history. In their proximal origin paper, these scientists concluded, quote, we do not believe that any type of laboratory-based scenario is plausible. Media pundits parroted the narrative. Social media platforms censored discussions about the lab leak, labeling it as misinformation and stifling open discourse about the virus's origins. I mean, you remember that. You were told you were called a conspiracy kook. You were told it was racist to suggest that. Again, not racist to suggest that the people of Wuhan were so freaking disgusting that their filthy eating habits caused a worldwide global pandemic. That's not racist. But to suggest that it could have come from a lab, totally racist. Now, I can't square that, but then again, you know, the corporate media and big tech just do what they're told by the government. That's part of the unholy triad. That's why they all work so well together. But for me, I would think if you blamed, say, the Italians, if you were like, oh, those freaking Italians are so freaking dirty in Napoli, They're so dirty in Naples. They caused a pandemic because they don't wash their hands or they eat raw bat on pizza. I'd be like, that's racist. But it's not racist to say that about Wuhan, China. But to suggest that scientists were cooking this in a lab and then it got out somehow. Now you're just being a bigot. Okay. The cover-up went beyond public statements. Federal officials and key officials withheld and continue to conceal crucial information from both the Congress of the United States of America and the public. For example, David Morins of the National Institutes of Health deleted emails that could have contained valuable insights into early discussions of how and where the virus originated. And the Office of the Director of National Intelligence failed to comply with a law passed by Congress unanimously to declassify information on the origins of COVID-19. How often do we get laws passed unanimously in this country? Never. And yet they're still not cooperating. The executive branch is still like, you don't tell us what to do by passing a law unanimously. The Department of Health and Human Services and the NIH have not produced documents related to gain-of-function research that Senate Homeland Security Chair Gary Peters, a Democrat, and Senator Rand Paul requested nearly a year ago. And just last week, a House committee released its findings that the Health and Human Services and the NIH engaged in a deliberate, prolonged effort to deceive the committee about certain gain-of-function research experiments. Thanks to brave whistleblowers, we've learned that EcoHealth Alliance partnered with the Wuhan Institute of Virology on an NIH grant to conduct research to make viruses more dangerous. It was revealed that three scientists who worked at the WIV fell sick with COVID-like symptoms in the fall of 2019. Now, let me just say, for the record, I'm not convinced that this was an accident. I mean, I'm 100% convinced it always happened since March of 2020 that it came from a lab. I just don't know if it's an accident or not. I really have my doubts for a lot of reasons. The timing of this, with the fact that the military world games were going on in Wuhan, China, and the United States had a delegation there. And it just happens to appear. COVID just happens to leak from the lab then. And the fact that nobody from the Wuhan wet market, where they serve the world's best bat burgers. The key to a great bat burger, of course, is you want to serve it Pittsburgh style. Rare as hell. Like a Chuck Schumer burger on Father's Day with cheese. But instead of cheese, you put pangolin aioli and then a side of raccoon dog fries. Or you can switch it up. I mean, depending on your taste preferences, some people like the raccoon dog aioli and the pangolin fries. It just depends. It just depends on you. I'm not judging. Just never, ever put pineapple on a bat burger for the sake of humanity. That's even worse than a global pandemic. A brave whistleblower revealed that in 2018, EcoHealth, the WIV, and the University of North Carolina submitted a proposal to the military research agency DARPA to insert a furin cleavage site. So hot. A furin cleavage site remarkably similar to COVID-19 into bat coronaviruses, a modification expected to make the virus more lethal. Obviously. The revelations have provided crucial evidence on the origins of COVID-19. In fact, both the FBI, the Department of Energy, now conclude that COVID-19 resulted from the lab. But don't forget, too, the Department of Energy, led by Secretary Dan Briette at the time, came out and said, we are very worried that this could be military, Chinese military involved here in what's going on at the WIV. This is before COVID ever reared its ugly head. They were putting cables back home saying, there's something going on here. But, you know, the bureaucrats at NIH and Fauci's agency, the merry band of gain-of-function researchers, they all said, don't worry about it. It's going to be just fine. Now, understanding the origin of COVID-19 is not just about assigning blame, although it should be about assigning blame, but it's also about learning from what happened so we can prevent future more deadly pandemics and the negative societal consequences associated with them. We have to realize a couple things here, and I'm grateful that Senator Rand Paul wrote this piece. I'm grateful he wrote the book on Fauci, too, and all his lies. But I also think it's important to note that they're still cooking stuff in that lab. They're still cooking. I don't know what they're serving at the Wuhan wet market. I haven't been there in a while, and I don't know if they have bat burger. It's more of a fall dish, early winter dish than a summer dish, I think. But I do know that they're still making viruses in the WIV. Using gain-of-function research. We know that. And I still finally, I mean, we still, you and I, we keep hearing about bird flu. I still see people walk around in masks. I don't get it, but I rule nothing out with these people. Nothing. I rule nothing out, and it scares me that the Bond villains over at the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and the WHO, the World Health Organization, that's who, they're still trying, desperately trying, to create this international treaty thing that is going to essentially control the world if there's another pandemic. And boy, would they not love to use that to control all of us in various different ways. We know that they would. They want to control everything from what we eat to how we live our lives to the appliances that we use, the energy that we use. And ultimately, the goal, of course, is world domination and the destruction of capitalism. I mean, it's like all Bond villains. They're quite very, very blatant about what they're trying to do. They don't hide it. They're very blatant. And you just have to be a fool if you think that these people are in any way, shape, or form concerned with keeping the world safe. They're not. They're looking to control everything. So I hope more comes out on this. I'm grateful at least that Dr. Richard Ebright, who looks exactly like Janet Yellen, it's a scary, scary way. And thanks to MAGA Man for sending that to me yesterday. It ruined my day, but nevertheless, he came out. He's a molecular biologist who at one time bought into the idea that it came from a bat burger, out of a bat burger per se, but a bat, you know. Although Ebright looks like he's eaten his fair share of burgers of all sorts. And I don't judge, but I'm just saying. And he came out and said, look, there's no way. And then yesterday in the hearing, the guy who opened it up, he laid it all out. Very, very, very deliberate, laid it all out and how there's no way this thing came from a wet market. So it's about controlling information. It always has. It always has been. It's like with right now what we see with Biden and these cheap fakes, as they're known. You know, there's a video right now, unedited, no one's touched it, of Biden struggling to get into the Suburban. And it is painful to watch. And I think the Democrats, this huge mistake they made in coming out the other day and saying that this is all disinformation, that these videos are highly edited and selective and manipulative and cheap fakes and everything else, is that now they've shined a light on this. So now every time there's a video of Biden doing something, stumbling, falling, spewing nonsense, everybody pays attention and looks at it carefully. If they just ignored it, it may not have become a story, but they chose to go after it because they know it's going to keep happening. And they think they're smarter than you and that they can tell you what your eyes are telling you is not real. Don't believe your own lying eyes. That's their whole plan here. So, you know, I think you have to realize that for these people, it's all about control. It's all about control and always has been. And then they do things like what we saw with that doctor down in Texas, where, you know, this guy is a whistleblower. This guy's a whistleblower and he does the right thing under Texas state law. He has to report whenever children are being abused. And what does he get for it? Well, what he gets for it is he gets the FBI arresting him. The FBI is intimidating nurses. And now this whistleblower telling you about the Children's Hospital in Texas are still mutilating our kids is facing 10 years in prison. So I'm pointing that out so you know that. And the control of information is everything. It's everything. It is the battle of our time is the control of information. And that's why the White House and the left so badly want to make sure that everybody believes that what they say is real. And if they don't say it's real, it's not real because that's it. That's how they operate. It's the sign of the times we're living in, by the way. I want to mention something as well. And that's this. Today's Juneteenth. Now, the Republican Party was established on two major principles. One was ending slavery, and the other was protecting our Second Amendment rights, which were under great threat by the Democrats back then. It's the same Republican Party today on June 19th, as it was in 1856 when it started, and it's the same Republican Party today. Do not believe the lie. See, Juneteenth should be a day for people to celebrate how the Republicans defeated the slave-owning Democrats. And when a Texas general of the Union told the slaves in Texas they were free, that's a day to celebrate. If you're a Republican. Of course, if you're a Democrat, it's a day for you to try to lie and spin and say America's a hateful, awful place because they don't want to acknowledge that it was their party. But the parties have not flipped, and someone today is going to spread that lie. And as Dr. Wilfred Riley has pointed out in his book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, that's not true. The reason why demographically states have changed in their voting preferences more has to do with where people moved to and from than anything else. And I know, and I can prove it to you, and I've proven it to you many times. If you want to believe me and not the lies that the Democrat Party today is the same Democrat Party it always was, just look to Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson and his merry band of progressive socialist kooks who tried to completely destroy the Constitution, expand the power of the executive branch. The guy was a racist, anti-Semite, resegregated the military, chased black people out of government. Destroyed people's lives just based on the color of their skin. It's the same progressive philosophies of Wilson are the same progressive philosophies of the Squad. They've not. It's an unbroken line of progressivism that actually goes all the way back to the conservatives, the Confederate States of America, the CSA, who argued that slavery was good because it provided housing and it gave them benefits and, you know, they just didn't get a paycheck for it. They've never believed in capitalism. They were also the first to institute an income tax. So just remember that. And then what did Woodrow Wilson do when he was president? He passed the amendment to the Constitution, the 16th, which instituted an income tax. So it's the same party. And this day should be a day to celebrate the achievement of the Republican Party in ending slavery. And the vision of the founders who crafted a Constitution that had the demise of slavery written into it. But instead, we whitewash our history, no pun intended. We do that for a reason, and the reason is because they want to perpetuate the myth that America is a hateful, awful place, and they can't acknowledge what the Republican Party did. Because to do so would mean that you have to recognize the Democrat Party should be canceled. It should be canceled. How it's still around, how they're able to even use the name. A buddy of mine sent me this from the Union League and Founding Forward, which is a future rooted in liberty. And this great piece by David Harmer, Juneteenth, a celebration of the American journey toward life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. And he writes that 159 years back to June 19th, 1865. And don't forget, President Trump tried to pass a law to make this day a holiday, and the Democrats blocked him because they did not want to acknowledge that it was the Republican Party that ended slavery. The last major Confederate army had surrendered just 2 months prior, April 9th, 1865, and the Emancipation Proclamation had been in effect for 2 years. Yet in Texas, some 250,000 people remained enslaved and unaware of their freedom. Accordingly, Major General Gordon Granger, U.S. Army, issued General Order No. 3. His first general order announced his appointment to command all troops in Texas, and his second announced his senior staff. Having established his authority in theirs, he announced the reason for their arrival. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. Thus was the last of those enslaved within the United States finally freed. Marking the occasion, Juneteenth is now celebrated nationwide. And it's used by the left, of course, to push this idea that America was always founded in slavery and that people were not considered to be a full person. The Three-Fifths Compromise, which, of course, again, they lie about the reason why the abolitionists pushed for that, to ensure that there would not be a lot of representation by Southern states in the House. But remember something. Confederate Vice President Alexander Stevens explicitly repudiated America's founding ideals, grounding the Confederacy in racism by saying, "The prevailing ideas entertained by Thomas Jefferson and most of the leading statesmen at the time of the formation of the old Constitution were that the enslavement of the African was in violation of the laws of nature. that it was wrong in principle, socially, morally, and politically. It was an evil they knew not well how to deal with, but the general opinion of the men of that day was that somehow or other, in the order of providence, the institution would be eviscerated and pass away. Those ideas, however, were fundamentally wrong, he wrote. They rested upon the assumption of the equality of races, and this was an error. Our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery's subordination to the superior race is his natural and normal condition. Now, I'll contrast that with what the Republican Party believed in its formation documents and what its first president, our first president as Republicans, would say, and also what Frederick Douglass would add to that as well. It's a big fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHC. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, don't forget, we got our big event coming up Friday in Cape May, and then Tuesday, Jack Carr, the man himself, my man Jack Carr, Red Sky Morning, his book, your chance to get your hands on it, your chance to be there for the event this Tuesday at the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College. But you better go to 1210wphd.com right now and get tickets, because there are only a few left, only a few left. The Republican Party was founded to abolish slavery. What President Lincoln said was, one section of our country believes slavery is right and ought to be extended, while the other half believes it is wrong and ought not to be extended. This is the only substantial dispute. The great abolitionist orator Frederick Douglass, having suffered the brutality of slavery himself, once asked, "What to the American slave is your 4th of July?" and answered, "A day that reveals to him, more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim." Yet Douglass came to see the racism and slavery not as purposes or consequences of America's founding, but contradictions and betrayals in it. Their incompatibility with the Declaration of Independence was obvious, though Douglass argued that they were equally incompatible with the Constitution. Interpreted as it ought to be interpreted, the Constitution is a glorious liberty document, Douglass said, encompassing principles and purposes entirely hostile to the existence of slavery. In other words, the Constitution was written to abolish slavery. Although not unique in having tolerated slavery, the United States was unique in having articulated in its Declaration of Independence ideals utterly incompatible with slavery. The wonder is not that America took time to live up to its founding ideals. The wonder is that those ideals, bold, universal, timeless, admitting no exceptions, were promulgated in the first place. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know who said that? Dr. King. He said, "So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." But too many people today, of course, are trying to use this as a day to advance the narrative that America is founded in racism, rooted in racism, and that America can never be cleansed of the sin of slavery. Of course, we all know the truth that America was not alone in slavery. We also know the truth that there are two political parties in this country. There were two political parties then, and there are two political parties now, two major political parties. One was founded to abolish slavery, and the other kept perpetuating it, and then did things like Jim Crow laws. That's the Democrat Party. I'm sorry to tell you, it is. I don't know how anybody can be part of the Democrat Party. I don't get it. I do not get it. But it probably has to do more with anything than the fact that the mindset of the progressive. Remember, they called themselves progressive at the time because socialists had a bad rap in Europe. The mindset of the progressive has always been about control. I mean, they are the true. If you think of fascism is called a right. On the political spectrum, they always say it's on the right, the far right. But that's not really true, because the idea of a strong central government that controls everything is so antithetical to conservatism. mean, what do conservatives believe? We believe in states' rights. We believe in the idea that the people are in charge of their government through their elected representatives, and that the Constitution prevails, and that the states are not subservient to the federal government. That's the opposite of the ideals of Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and the next Democrat that comes after them. They want a strong federal government that rules on every area of our life, from the kind of stove we can have to the kind of car we can drive to the kind of freaking washing machine detergent we can use and the kind of washing machines we can use, the shower flow, all these things. That's not a conservative principle, to have a strong centralized federal government. That's the opposite of what our founders created. Well, because whether it's Wilson or it's FDR or it's Johnson or it's Obama or it's Biden, that mindset of we're the feds, we know best, we're in charge, we're the smartest people in the room, we're going to tell you how to live your life, they can't acknowledge that that party is a party that advocated for slavery and then control over the races, just like they try to control every aspect of our lives. And because their ultimate goal is the destruction of this country, where they literally go in and take the Constitution of the United States and rip it up. I can feel the Bill of Rights crumbling in my hands. In order to do so, you have to convince the youngins, the youths, that America was founded on racism. Therefore, how can you believe and follow the founding documents? You can't. You simply can't. Because America is this awful, awful place. I want to share with you what my buddy Lynn Patton said on Instagram earlier today. Lynn is very involved with the Trump campaign, as you know. She's been in studio with me in the past. She's a terrific person. And she points out that President Trump tried to enshrine Juneteenth as a holiday, and the Democrats blocked him from doing so because they did not want a Republican getting the credit that a Republican deserves for that triumphant defeat of slavery. And so I hear Democrats still trying to use this to push the narrative because their ultimate goal, the destruction of the guardrails being the Constitution, so that they can do whatever they want, whatever they want. Now, I want to share with you a supercut from our friend Tom Elliott over at Grabian. Corporate media, don't believe your lying eyes about Joe Biden, all right? Don't believe your lying eyes, because everything that you think you see about Biden is all manufactured cheap fakes. This is what I mean about the control of information and why it absolutely is so critical that we never let the federal government control what is information and what is disinformation. Take a listen.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
He knows so long as he's denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation is remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely pro and detail oriented and focused.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I was sitting, you know, of 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted GD war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
There hasn't been, as far as I know, a single claim that Biden made a mistake.
Ageism is an issue. Americans have a rich history of holding people's physical characteristics against them. Okay, you can ask African Americans.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit. And there's.
Does anybody think that it's about his age? Does anybody think it's about his age? Honestly, when you hear this stuff about Biden and you're told not to believe your lying eyes, does anybody believe it's actually real? Come on, stop. In the last 12 hours, Fauci's appeared on CBS, CNN, and MSNBC, and thus far hasn't been asked one actual journalism question related to the myriad scandals that he's been involved with. Illegally funding coronavirus research in Wuhan, orchestrating a cover-up, deleting emails, using private email, helping Big Pharma, force faulty products on the American people. None of this stuff. See, there is a war to control information, all right? There is a war to control information. And it is always been the battle. It will always be the battle. I'm telling you. Juneteenth is an example of that, because there are people right now on the left, and I'm sure we'll have lots to play tomorrow of all of their going on about how America is an awful place. There are people telling you not to believe your lying eyes because Joe Biden is actually the best he is. There's people telling you believe that Fauci is a hero. There's people doing all of these things. And we saw this with the Hunter Biden laptop. We saw this with Russia disinformation. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Take transgenderism, for example. The idea that transgenderism, particularly in children, is a mental illness, that is something you cannot entertain. The powers that be in California, for example, just passed a law that says parents won't know if their kids come to school and identify as trans. So let's just stop already pretending like this is not a war to control the flow of information, tell you what's real and what isn't. It always has been. And that's why we got to win this November. All right, we got a lot more to say in our fourth and final hour. Great to have you with us. Again, Friday, Kate May. Tuesday, Jack Carr. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
President Trump is coming back to Philly. Future President Trump coming back to Philly. And I'm so happy that my friend Caroline Levitt is back on my show today to talk about it. Hello, Caroline. How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm doing great. How are you?
It's always wonderful to have you on the show. And I'm excited that the president's coming back to Philly on Saturday. I got to see Laura Trump last night. I got to talk to the national Republican chairman and the co-chair. So about protecting the vote in Pennsylvania, making sure we have a fair election coming up. I'm feeling great about the poll numbers. I'm feeling great about President Trump's support among black voters. So to answer your question, I'm in a terrific mood.
Well, it sounds like you've had yourself quite the week. And I have to tell you, Rich, we so appreciate everything you do. You're a great voice for the people of Pennsylvania. And we're so excited to come on Saturday. Got a big rally in Philly on Saturday night. Everyone can go to DonaldJTrump.com to secure their tickets. It's going to be great, as always.
I am just appalled. I mean, not surprised, but just the way the White House wants us to believe that all these videos of Joe Biden, which nobody has edited, don't believe your own eyes. These are cheap fakes, when no one has edited any of these videos, Caroline.
Rich, this is one of the most unbelievable things we've seen yet on this campaign. And we've seen a lot of them, so that's saying something. But the fact that the Biden White House is literally trying to lie to the American public, try to get them not to believe their own eyes, and accuse us of editing these videos is comical. I mean, first of all, we don't have enough time in the day to edit all of these gaffes that Joe Biden makes, okay? Every time he steps out in public, he's stumbling over his words. He's tripping over his feet. He's tripping up the stairs on Air Force One. I mean, we can see this with our own eyes, and they're trying to tell people don't believe that reality. It's the Republicans' fault. And shame on the mainstream media in this country, Rich, because as always, they are trotting right along with Joe Biden's message. They are pushing this propaganda right along with him. If I had a buck for every single fake news reporter I dealt with in the last few days trying to explain to them that we're not editing these videos, they are real, I'd be a rich woman. It's crazy we even have to have these conversations.
It's so true. And he has to use the short stairs on Air Force One, Caroline Levitt. I mean, he can't even go up the big ones.
He can't even go up the big stairs on Air Force One. I mean, no one will forget the terrible fall that he had at the Air Force Academy graduation. I mean, on and on it goes. Just yesterday, when he was announcing his terrible, disastrous executive order, he had more gaffes, and he was stumbling and bumbling over his words again. So this is the reality of this president. He is declining mentally and physically. More than 70% of Americans agree that Joe Biden doesn't have the stamina that is necessary to be president for another 4 years. The Biden White House might not be focused on that reality, but that's the truth. And the cold, hard truth hurts sometimes.
You know, Caroline Levitt, it's also very obvious that with this debate coming up, they are trying to manage expectations so that if Biden just is able to stand there for 90 minutes and not be comatose, they'll consider that a victory. That's how low the bar is set. Then they're trying, and all their little corporate media hacks who parrot everything they want them to say, they're all saying those things too, trying to manage everybody's expectations because they know that Joe Biden cannot debate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're definitely lowering our expectations for this debate. Look, Joe Biden had to commit to this debate because President Trump forced him into a corner to do so. President Trump was saying for months, anytime, anywhere, any place, he would debate Joe Biden. Biden had to go on the, or Biden went on the Howard Stern radio show. He was asked, and whether he knew it or not, he committed. And I'm sure his handlers weren't happy about that because they don't want him on that debate stage next week because they know that he cannot compete with President Trump. President Trump hosts hours-long rallies every single week talking to crowds of thousands of people, and he does it sometimes without a teleprompter at all. So he's ready for this. We're very excited about it. It's going to be a great opportunity for President Trump to show his strength versus Biden's weakness.
Good, and I'm excited for it too. And I know we're gonna have a lot of people watching, tuning in. No question about it. But it's funny when you say his handlers must have, when they heard him commit to a debate, they must have froze. It's like every single time we watch one of these videos, this one now, Biden struggling to get into his SUV, they freeze. So they know there's going to be more of this coming up, Caroline. And what they want to do is try to convince us not to believe our eyes, as a way that they can then, as these things keep happening, go, oh, they must be edited. This must be selective. Mm-hmm. But it's also part of a larger problem, which is in this country, they are constantly using the media to push a narrative. And that narrative against the president, the former president, Donald Trump, for example, in so many different ways. We saw what they did by covering up the Hunter Biden laptop. We saw what they did with Russian disinformation. And we're seeing it again now, where they go out there and they tell everybody, don't believe these poll numbers. Donald Trump is not doing as well with black voters. But he is. All the polls show it. He went from 7% support to 21% support. And there's a lot of reasons why.
Mm-hmm. And they also do it with policy, too. I mean, they've been telling us for more than a year that the economy is doing great. Bidenomics is working. We know that that's not to be true. I mean, Americans feel that every day. We see it when we go to the grocery store, or we fill up the gas tank, or you pay your rent. I mean, everything is more expensive in Biden's America. So for them to just lie, it's like it's delusional. It's like they're just hoping the American public are going to be so ignorant that they, again, don't believe what they see with their own eyes and feel in their own pocketbooks. And again, they do it with the border. They say the border is secure. How many times have we heard Mayorkas go out and say that? That's an utter and complete lie. The border is wide open. We've had an invasion of tens of millions of illegal people in this country over the past 3.5 years, many of them now committing heinous acts of violence, which they try to tell us migrant crime isn't on the rise. All you need to do is look at a few local headlines every single day, and you will realize there is a surge of migrant crime in this country right now that is taking the lives of innocent Americans. And Joe Biden doesn't want to talk about that because it's terrible for him. And rather than do something about it, he launched signed an executive order this week to give amnesty and green cards and citizenship to hundreds of thousands of illegal people. Just shows how out of touch they are. They are controlled by the far leftists in this country, Rich, who hate this country and want to see its demise. President Trump, on the other hand, loves this country. He's not controlled by anyone. The only people he answers to is the American people. And that's why his policies are common sense. And that's why, to your point, he's gaining ground with black Americans, Hispanic Americans, all Americans. And we know that's true, certainly in Pennsylvania as well.
Can we talk for a second, too, about illegal immigration? I mean, we know that, as Stephen Miller tweeted out, and you retweeted this a short time ago, and follow Caroline, by the way, on X at K Levitt and NH. K Levitt NH. Biden set him free. Now he's accused of raping a 13-year-old girl at knife point. We're being told by the corporate media that we're being dramatic here by talking about that story. We shouldn't be doing that. We're just being dramatic and fear-mongering.
It's disgusting. And I heard, I think it may be the woman on The View or some women on MSNBC. I heard it on the radio. I didn't see who they were. But they were laughing at this story. They were laughing at the way Fox News truthfully framed it, which is a migrant raped a 13-year-old in broad daylight. And they were making fun of Fox News for framing a story in that context. I mean, that is the truth.
Yeah.
There's nothing factually inaccurate about that. And this story should send chills up the spine of people, not make them laugh. I mean, the fact that this was able to happen, and it's 100% Joe Biden's fault. This man was allowed into the country through Eagle Pass, Texas. He was given an order by DHS and then released because ICE and DHS are so overwhelmed with the amount of migrants that have come into this country. And we saw the same thing happen in the case of Rachel Morin, the mother of five, who was just brutally raped and murdered while she was out on a jog in Maryland. And that illegal immigrant as well was encountered by Border Patrol. He committed crimes in his home country. He was allowed into the country, released, and then took her life. I mean, this woman should still be alive. This innocent 13-year-old now has to live with the trauma of being raped for the rest of her life because Joe Biden refuses to shut down the border. And other instances where these just tragedies are taking place, they're entirely preventable. And again, rather than do something about it and simply shut down the border and return to the Trump era policies, no, Joe Biden's doubling down and he's giving mass amnesty to more people, which will inevitably lead to more migrant crime. And it's also going to take a major toll on our government funded programs, including Social Security and Medicare for seniors that have paid into the programs their entire lives. They're now going to be crumbling because of Joe Biden's mass amnesty plan.
Caroline Leavitt, we look forward to seeing you on Saturday in Philly at Temple. Get your tickets to see the president at DonaldJTrump.com. I know we're going to be talking to you a lot more. I know we're going to be doing a lot in Pennsylvania. Real quick before I let you go, because I know you got to run, protect the vote. That's what Laura Trump and RNC chairman were talking about last night. We got to protect the vote. We got to make sure that the vote's secure. We need people to sign up, be poll watchers. We need people to be able to be there on Election Day. We need attorneys who are willing to volunteer their time on Election Day, too. And we have to start asking for people to sign up now to do it. We got to get ahead of this.
Yes, absolutely. Protect the vote. And also you can go to TrumpForce47.com. That is our volunteer-led coalition. We need people on the ground, especially in key states like Pennsylvania, to volunteer to help get out the vote and protect the vote. So please go check both of those things out. And also go get your tickets for the rally. We'll see you in Philly on Saturday, Rich.
Thanks, Caroline. Appreciate it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard the saying, better, faster, cheaper. You can only pick two. But when it comes to customer service, AI is changing everything. Intercom's AI-first support platform won't make anyone compromise. Customers get a 70% faster first response time, and half of those questions are resolved instantly, which gives agents more time for the complex issues. And leaders get 31% more efficient teams and happier customers. Better, faster, or cheaper? Go ahead, pick all three. Intercom, AI-first customer service.